Spent some time in the country, live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
Award-winning country artist Derek Rattan will release his new album, Take the Week Off, on October 15th. It's his follow-up to Up All Night, Derek Rattan Live. The first single is the title track, and it's currently soaring up the charts. Another song of Derek's that's at home at the top of the charts was co-written by him, but it's sung by none other than Blake Shelton. The song is called Mine Would Be You. On October 16th, Derek begins a 26-day tour across Canada with Chad Brownlee and Jason Blaine. The tour is called Your Town Throwdown. My pleasure now to welcome Derek Rattan to the show. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Dave. How are you, man?
Hey, I am doing great. It is great to speak with you again.
You as well. It's been a long time.
It has, a couple of years, and a lot has happened in between. You had the live album out that was very successful, Up All Night, and now the new release. How exciting is it, Derek, to have a new album out of 12 songs that people are just starting to hear?
Well, it's very exciting. I've given my life to this music business thing, this songwriting and singing thing, and I'm really excited about this record. In looking back at it, I'm kind of coming off of a two-year period of just a very productive period for me, Dave, writing songs-wise, you know, and material-wise. And so I really think that this new album, which will be out next Tuesday, is going to be my strongest, I think it's my strongest collection of songs yet.
And that's saying something because, I mean, the string of hits you have up to this point are amazing. What I also love, Derek, about the songs is so many of them are very personal. And you can tell just by listening, for example, Where the Train Don't Stop, your most recent hit. I understand that started off kind of as a homage to Bracebridge, Ontario, where you're from. And then it kind of became a song that everybody could get into and relate to.
Yeah. Where the Train Don't Stop and before it, Main Street 1979. I mean, both those songs off the live album were kind of... I wrote Where the Train Don't Stop with my buddy Dave Turnbull, who's from a little town in Pennsylvania, and we both were kind of just writing about our own little towns, and what we discovered is that, as you often do in a co-write, the differences between people are not as great as you would expect when you get down to it. And Where the Train Don't Stop kind of, I mean, that to me, that was Bracebridge. I mean, it was big enough to have a train, but after sometime in the 1940s, it kind of sailed on through to the next town. It kind of just slowed down and nobody got on or off. And I just felt like that was a nice metaphor for towns of that size and smaller across Canada where, you know, that's the case. And it doesn't mean that they've been overlooked, and they're certainly important to a lot of people, especially if you're from there like I am. So I was glad to get to be able to write a little song sort of as a tribute to my hometown, and then to have it out as a single was special too, and let other people hear it.
And we're going to talk about and actually share Main Street 1979 a bit later. I attended the Country Music Association of Ontario Awards earlier this year, the first ever awards, which is amazing, in Markham, Ontario. And you performed that song there, and it's such a moving song. I'm sure you hear that all the time. I know it's a personal song to you, but it's something we all can relate to wherever our Main Street is.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It's funny, you know, with that song, I sat down I wrote that by myself. I would say most of the songs that people hear of mine are co-written, but that song was written by myself. I sat down at my house one night and I just, you know, hit a D chord and parts of that first verse just came out. And it took some time. It took a few months of kind of pecking at it and going back and forth on it. But when you write a song, after a while, when you sort of get in there and start kicking the dirt around, kicking the leaves, you know, seeing what's under
right.
there, so to speak,
yeah.
It will sort of make itself, it will become apparent what the song is supposed to be and what it's supposed to be about. And when it became apparent that it was supposed to be about a personal story for me, I just kind of decided to write it as that and make it autobiographical, and everything in there is, first verse where it talks about just me and my brother in the backseat of my parents' car and my dad going in for cigarettes. I mean, my dad used to smoke like everybody did. He has since quit, which you would like me to tell people. that whole thing, second verse, the third verse talks about my grandfather in the lumber yard, both of my grandfathers. While my one grandpa worked at the lumber yard, and my other grandpa was a carpenter, so he was often at the lumber yard picking up lumber. And so everything about that song is true. And then when I made my record, my live record, and I put a few new studio tracks on there, I put Main Street on there, never intending for it to be a single. Thought never crossed my mind. I just wanted something that meant a lot to me, have it be on there. And then when I was on the CMT Hit List tour with Dean Brody and Aaron Lines a couple years ago, going across Canada, we did an acoustic portion in that show, and I played Main Street 1979 in the acoustic portion of the show on that tour. And I was struck by all the people after those shows who would come up and have a story about that song and how they found it to be personally relatable to them. And that got me thinking I should maybe release it as a single. And now I'm glad I did, you know, because I get people who come up and want to talk about that song and about how the geography for them is slightly different, you know, with they didn't have a KFC, they had an A&W or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's just it's a thrilling thing for me as a songwriter to get to be the guy who sings that song that means something to somebody.
And that's the thing, even though the places and names might be different for us as listeners, we can get into the emotion of the song and just what it's talking about, and our listeners will hear it later. Most of them have already heard the song, of course. But it's so amazing that sometimes the songs that artists think, maybe I can't release because it's too personal or it's not commercial enough, sometimes those go on to become the most special songs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't know. That's just it. You don't know whether a song is going to have that kind of effect on people. But I think what people connect to in that song, and you've already touched on it, is just the truth. I mean, the honest emotion. And the lesson I learned as a songwriter with that song was that I found there's a real universality to specificity if you get the details right. You know, you think you're writing about your life in these very specific, nuanced details, but then, you know, all these people hear their own story reflected in those same details. So it was really a neat song, really a neat lesson for me to learn, you know, from my own song.
Oh, yeah. Now, the brand new album is called Take the Week Off. As we mentioned, it's released next Tuesday, October 15th, 12 new songs. And I had a chance online to preview some of the tracks, and it's just wonderful. Again, your strong, solid songwriting is there, and emotion in songs like What a Memory and The Space Between. Your songs, as we said, very personal, Derek, and also lyrically strong. Do you really take time going over the lyrics to get them just right?
Oh, yes. Oh yes, I drive myself crazy with it, honestly. I drive my co-writers crazy a lot of the times too, just because people write at different speeds, and I tend to be on the slower side of things. I'm not a guy who cranks out a song in a couple of hours or even a day sometimes. So it may take me a couple of days or maybe even 3 days to
right.
finish a song, and some people aren't cool with that pace, but that's okay. But I do pay specific attention to those words, and because to me it's this is my life's work, and I take it seriously. It's something that I don't do anything else. This is what I do, and at the end of it, I want to be able to look back on a, hopefully, a body of work and be able to stand behind every song. And plus, just being a performer, Dave, what you realize as you get out there playing for people is these songs are important to other people. You'll meet people after a show who will come up to you with just these wonderful stories about a specific song, and it really kind of makes you go, man, if you weren't already, you really need to be taking care with your work, with your music,
yeah.
with your lyrics, with what you're doing, because this stuff matters to people. And I do take it seriously, and I do labor over it quite a bit.
Yeah, the lyrics are awesome, of course, along with the melodies and the production. Now, you co-produced this album. Can you talk about that experience? Your producer, of course, very well known for other artists. Talk about him for a moment, Luke.
Yeah, Luke Wooten is, it's funny, as we're having this conversation, I'm actually at his studio right now. I'm doing a demo session tonight. Yeah, so I'm actually in the studio right now. Where are we? It's funny, as I was listening to your pre-roll of the three songs you chose to play, those were all recorded in the room that I'm sitting beside right now. Anyway, my last four. The new stuff off the live record, and then my first time in a long time, Sunshine, and the new one, Take the Week Off. All those records were recorded here at Luke's studio. He owns the studio as well. And he mixed my last three records. But this is the first time we've worked together as co-producers. And it's just a great process. For me, I'm very involved, much like with the songwriting. As a producer producing my own stuff, I'm there from the inception of the song to when the band is tracking it, to writing parts for the band to play occasionally, and through the mix process, the whole business. And having a collaborator like Luke, who has he's mixed the last two Brad Paisley records, he mixed the first four Dierks Bentley records. He just did the Kelly Pickler record. I think he did the Sheryl Crow record that's out. He mixed that. And so having somebody like that who's, he's no slouch. And so he is going to, that the level of his game is up where you hope yours is. And it's just great to have somebody that you can bounce thoughts off of and really get into a true collaboratorship in the studio. So it was great.
Is it tough for you, Derek, to know when a song is done? We know it's written, but on the production level, to know you've got enough in the song and it can be done now.
Honestly, it's, for me, it's harder on the songwriting front to know when it's done. the production thing comes a little, I don't want to say it comes easier to me, but there does seem to be a more natural conclusion to it. I am a consummate fixer. Like, I'll keep redoing things. I'll want to go go in and sing a line one more time or sing, I think I could do this verse better. And he's like,
right.
Man, it's great, you know. And sometimes, so I, that's another good reason to have a good co-producer, because he can pull you back from the ledge, you know. I call it going deep down the rabbit hole, you know. Going way down there and you can't see, you're looking up and you think you see daylight, but it's really just a big, it's a big well of just confusion when you get way down in those, because
right.
you get really into those songs and I don't know, I sometimes think I need medication. I just need to back away from the mixing console. But a guy like that, again, Luke, who's done so much of it, and he's produced so many hits, and he's a Grammy-nominated producer, he can truly say, dude, it's done, you know, and I trust his opinion because of his body of work.
Now we've got 12 songs on the new album, the new single "Take the Week Off," which we're going to listen to in a moment. Was it a tough choice narrowing the songs that you had written down to these 12?
It really was, Dave. I had more trouble with this record than probably any previous one, to be honest with you. And I think it's because a couple of years ago I signed a new publishing deal, got into a new sort of creative environment, and that really I found inspiring. And I wrote more songs in the last 2 years than I have in any other previous two-year period in my career. So I had a thing one is I had a whole lot of songs to choose from, and that made it really difficult. I recorded Take the Week Off, and there were a few that I was pretty sure I wanted to record. I recorded those in May, and then I went to Rome, Italy, to shoot the video for Take the Week Off. And my wife and I were flying back on Friday from Rome, and on Monday morning we were going to come into the studio and finish the record. And I kid you not, I wasn't sure what songs I was going to do. And I was on the flight back from Rome on Friday night going, well, I could do this, or I could do this. And I was going through lists of songs on the plane. And I was to,
wow.
you know, go into the studio in less than 48 hours and finish the record. And that's when I went in and did The Space Between and Pass It Around and a few of the other songs you mentioned earlier. So it was really tough for me to decide. I don't know why, but it was tough on the song selection process on this record, for sure.
We have lots more to talk about, including bunch of the songs that you've written for other artists, and our listeners will know the songs, and then they're going to find out that you've had a hand in writing just a bunch of their favorites. I can't wait to get to that. Let's talk about the new single, which I understand is your fastest rising single so far.
It is. Well, it's either the fastest or the second fastest. I need someone at my record label to verify that, but it made it into the top 10 in 7 weeks. And I think When You Come Around, my debut single, which was 10 years ago, which is hard for me to believe, 2003, that made it into the top 10 in like 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So Take the Week Off is either the fastest or the second fastest of my career, which is so funny because I personally felt like I was taking a bit of a risk recording Take the Week Off because it was just a little different for me, I felt. I've never really, I don't think, recorded and sung a song this specifically sung to a woman. And my songs, I mean, you know, look at a song like Up All Night or Good Time, I mean, those are kind of party songs, and Main Street is just sort of a personal sort of story, so Take the Week Off I felt was different for me, so that's, I couldn't be more pleased to see, you know, how well it's doing and how many singles it's selling on iTunes. It's the record does come out on the 15th, but people can buy it on iTunes now. It's selling great, so that's just been really cool to see that it's resonating with fans.
That's good to hear, and you co-wrote this song with Ryan Tindall, who people will know. He co-wrote the big hit for Eric Church called Springsteen, which is a great song.
Yeah, and Ryan and I have known each other for about 10 years. We wrote for Sony Music Publishing here in Nashville years ago, and when we got together to write Take the Week Off, we actually hadn't seen each other. Well, we'd seen each other, but we hadn't written a song in about 5 years. And we got together, and he actually had the title Take the Week Off and had a little piece of a melody, And again, got in there and started digging and kicking leaves around, and we uncovered that bit about, it's been a long 5 days, I want to watch you take the week off. And once one of us said that, it was like, okay, now we know what the song's about. And that kind of
right.
was a little click, and we heard the lock open, and it was a fun song to write. Never intended for it to be recorded by me, however. I didn't hear it for me. I just I turned it into my publisher, and he loved it. And then when I went to make the record, he was like, "Man, you're gonna record Take the Week Off?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know if it's a Derek Bertan song." And he said, "I think it might be." So now apparently he was right, because everybody seems to agree with him.
Yeah, it is a great song. I have to agree. Let's share it now. This is Derek Bertan, brand new music called Take the Week Off on In the Country.
Kick on back, peel this label, watch you do your Friday dance, pour a little of your favorite something in the glass, girl, toss it back. We could go downtown, meet our friends, check out a band, get good and loud. You could put on that red dress, makes my head spin round. Or we could sneak on and take the week off. Down with your ponytail, girl, won't you shake it loose? Slip out of that dress, strip off your troubles too. Go ahead and leave a trail for me to follow you. On down the hallway, baby. Been a long 5 days, and I wanna watch you take the week off. One kiss at a time, gonna melt the stress and hurry and make it all okay. Don't even have to cash in our vacation days. Don't have to be gone to take the week off. Start with your ponytail, girl, won't you shake it loose? Slip out of that dress, strip off your troubles too. Go ahead and leave a trail for me to follow.
That is the current single for my guest, Derek Bertan. It's called Take the Week Off, the title track to his album being released on October 15th, and it is climbing up the charts as we speak, hitting for the top position. There's a video out on that song as well. Stay tuned. We've got Derek's beautiful song, Main Street 1979, coming up. But, Derek, let's talk about your success as a songwriter. Other artists who have recorded your song, it's quite amazing. It's a long list. We won't get to all of them, but... Strong for Michelle Wright, Rocket Country Girl, Jason Blaine's recent hit, Hold My Beer, which is, of course, big party anthem for Aaron Prochette, a couple of Dierks Bentley tunes going back a few years now, What Was I Thinking, and a lot of Leaving Left to Do. We'll also talk about the Blake Shelton song right now, which is a huge hit, Mine Would Be You. How does it feel not only to have the success you've had as an artist, but to have these other artists record your songs?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, it's a real blessing. I moved to Nashville in 1994. Unbelievably, I've been here 19 years, which is just crazy to me to think. But it was a long time coming. I mean, I was here, you know, seven or eight years before I had a song recorded. And it was Dierks Bentley recorded a song called Distant Shore, and then a song called What Was I Thinking on his first album. And those were my first two big cuts. And like I say, 7-8 years after I'd been slaving away and writing every day and wondering whether I'd made the worst decision of my life by moving 1,000 miles from Bracebridge, Ontario, my hometown, and
right.
And not knowing anybody. And at this point, I had a wife and 5 kids, and I'm like, well, this might not work out so good. so I, and you know, I because of those years of struggle and because it didn't come easy, I think I really appreciated it when it really came along, and I continue to. There's not any cut that I get that I'm not excited about. It can be a big artist like Blake Shelton. It can be, you know, someone who's just starting out in their career. It doesn't matter. I'm thankful for them all because, like I say, I remember tons of people who moved to this town when I did, who now are not here anymore. They've moved back to Oklahoma or you know, Alberta or England or wherever they were from. And
yeah.
I count myself lucky to be able to put food on the table for my family by doing it.
And a fellow Bracebridge artist moved down, I think it was after you, but who's done quite well, and I've spoken to her a few times on the show, Victoria Banks. I know that you two are good friends, and she's had a lot of her songs achieve success.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of weird, you know, because not many people move here and have someone they knew from high school who is also working in the music business in Nashville. So it's that's pretty interesting. But we played, she actually was dating my best friend, and he played bass in my band, and so Victoria would do some gigs with us. And so we actually made some music together when we were 16, 17 years old.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
really cool. I think she told a story on the show about staying at your place in the early days in Nashville, and I think there wasn't any heat in the house, something like that.
Yeah, we had a wood stove. My wife and I had an old 100-year-old farmhouse outside of Nashville, and we, you know, I didn't have a publishing deal, had no money coming in, just trying to make it, trying to get started, and we had an old wood stove in the house, and I grew up with a wood stove. I mean, my parents still heat with wood, and so I grew up splitting and carrying wood and all that. But this wood stove was very inefficient, had a real small box on it, so you could only put maybe, you know, one big piece in at a time, and so I would have to get up in the middle of the night, put wood in like a couple times, and there were days where I would come home and the power would be off, you know, because we just couldn't pay the bill, and
right.
So it was really a journey, and again, I'm thankful to God I'm on this side of it now.
And one of the great things going on now, as you mentioned, the Blake Shelton song that you co-wrote with Connie Harrington and Jesse Alexander. The song is called "Mine Would Be You." It's all over the radio. Great lyrical content in it, and I was quite happy for you to see the tweet that Sheryl Crow tweeted your way about how much she likes the song, and she thinks it's one of the best written, like, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's crazy. She, Jesse, who I wrote the song with, Jesse and Sheryl know each other and are friends, and so I don't know if that's how she heard the song or if she heard it at the label, because Blake and Sheryl are on the same record label now, Warner Brothers. Anyway, the day that Blake's album came out, she tweeted that she said, "I just heard the best song I've heard in 10 years. Mine Would Be You by Blake Shelton. It's awesome." And then she mentioned it again last month in People magazine that it really inspired her to write a better song. And I was pretty blown away by that. Just because I'm such a fan of hers, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful stuff.
I heard a song of hers the other day. I guess it's from her current album called, I believe it's called Waterproof Mascara, which sounded like something out of the 70s. And, I mean, in a good way. It just had that real country classic feel to it. A beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't heard that one, but I'll check that out, absolutely.
She's a great artist, and some of these other songs, I've interviewed Michelle Wright, of course, recently, and she's had success with the song Strong, which is a great anthem for women. In the video, she has pictures of women and girls at different stages of life, different scenarios, and that's been a great song for her.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We wrote that with our friend Melissa Pierce here in Nashville, and I can remember the first Canadian Country Music Awards I went to long before I moved to Nashville. Michelle was on the show, and it was Hamilton, Ontario, I think, and I was in the back row of the arena, and just, I mean, you know, you couldn't get any bigger than Michelle Wright. I mean, she's just, she's awesome, and just what a voice, my goodness. I mean, I've always been a huge fan. But we'd never written together, and so when we wrote Strong, there was one song we wrote like a month before that, and then we wrote Strong. And I think Michelle is just, she's a great communicator of a message, particularly a message like this. I think she was just, she really does these types of anthems with some meat on the bone, you know what I mean, where there's there's lyrical content that, she has the authority as an artist and the authority as a singer to really put that message out there. So I was I was thrilled that she cut that song.
Is there anybody yet, Derek, that you have wanted to have them record one of your songs, and maybe you've pitched in the past and you're still holding out for that, and you're hoping in the next couple of years that that's going to happen? Anybody on that dream pitch list?
George Strait.
Nice.
Yeah, George Strait. I almost had a George Strait cut a couple of records ago. In fact, he himself called my publisher and said, I want to put this song on hold. And it was a song I wrote with my friend Mark Nessler called Never Gonna Get Enough. And he just wanted to record it. And then, you know, as often happens, it just, for one reason or another, it just didn't make the record. And so I was pretty disappointed about that. I mean, for crying out loud, George Strait. That, to me, that's like the pinnacle of country music success as a songwriter. If you have George Strait standing on stage every night singing one of your songs, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He didn't cut it. And then, oddly enough, Joe Nichols recorded that song on one of his records. So. We did get a cut on the song, and it was on Joe. But, yeah, if I could say anybody on the top of my list, and there's a lot of people on my list, don't get me wrong, but at the top would definitely be George Strait.
What about duet partners? Anybody come to mind?
Well, probably because I did the one with Dierks. I would try and go with a female partner this time. You know, we've kind of been talking about her. I think Sheryl Crow would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And since she likes Mine Would Be You, maybe I've got an in. Dave, what do you think?
I think so. I think you do. You've got it.
I'm a fan of hers. I also am a fan of, I like Kacey Musgraves a lot, and I like Miranda Lambert. I like the texture of Miranda's voice. Gosh, I don't know. That's so tough to me. It takes me forever to write a song, so to pick a duet partner would be, that's like a 2-month process, I'm sure.
Right. We'll get back to you in 2 months. But no,
exactly.
There.
Get back to me.
Yeah. We'll get back to you. But Miranda and Kacey Musgraves both are very traditional in the way they sing on most of their songs. Those would be great choices. Let's turn to your song now. We talked about it before, Main Street 1979, how personal a song it is for you and how listeners have found themselves in the song, wherever that Main Street is for them and even the time period. But I'll ask you about the production before we play it. It's a very sparse production, which goes along with the emotion in it. Was that obviously a conscious choice to downplay the amount of instruments?
Thing one is it's a testament to the fact that I didn't think it would ever be a single. because usually if I'm trying to produce something to be a single, I'll put like drums in it from the start, you know, sort of more percussion. But that song, I mean, as you know, is just a vocal and an acoustic guitar for the first, you know, minute almost. So, yeah. But yeah, it was kind of, I always try, my rule is always just, I'm always trying to serve the song and tell the story. And I thought on Main Street in 1979, and you kind of hit the nail on the head with the way you set it up, with the purity of the story that's being told and sort of just the honesty. You just kind of want to tell it with an acoustic guitar. It's one of those stories you just kind of want to not let the music get in the way of the story, if that makes any sense. And so there was sort of a conscious effort to just sort of let it be sparse and let it be open and not get in the way of the story, and just sort of have the instruments come in and surround and support when needed. So, but I wasn't thinking of a single at all, and you can kind of hear that in the way that I recorded it. So I was so pleased to have it be received by fans the way that it was.
It's a great song, and it is from Derek's album Up All Night. Derek Rattan Live is a previous release. Let's share it now. This is Main Street 1979 on In the Country.
Legs taken to the vinyl seat. Ice cream truck goes by on the street. My little brother doesn't even look. Head buried in a comic book. Dad comes back with cigarettes. Radio plays Benny and the Jet. Mama sings, says don't touch that dial. Daddy just smiles. And we roll out of the five and dime. Past the park and the hardware store, Daddy waves to the man in the door. Stop down at the KFC, son. Chicken smelling up the backseat. Mama says, you boys leave that bucket alone. We'll all eat when we get home. Catch my dad in the side view mirror, grinning ear to ear. He was holding Mama's hand real tight. Main Street 1979. I wonder now whose town this is, as I roll in with my wife and kids. 'Cause nothing seems to change, but nothing stays the same. Daddy drove on, and there he was, loading lumber on a flatbed truck. Grandpa waved and smiled real big. Lord, how he loved us grandkids. 6 years later, the cancer came. That old man didn't know my name. Wish now Dad had stopped the car, and I'd run for a hug from Grandpa's arms. But I barely waved as we drove by Main Street 1979. What I'd give for one more ride down Main Street 1979.
Such a beautiful song from my guest, Derek Rattan. That is called Main Street 1979. His brand new album is called Take the Week Off, and that's going to be available online and in record stores October 15th, which is next Tuesday. Very exciting. And a tour starts for you the day after, Derek, across Canada for 26 dates called Your Town Throwdown, along with a fellow country artist, Chad Brownlee and Jason Blaine.
Yeah, I'm real excited about that. I've been buddies with Chad and Jason a while and written songs with both of them. And we just, you know, I've been wanting to do another one of those tours for a couple of years since I did the CMT Hitlist tour with Dean Brody and Aaron Lyons a couple of years ago. And Chad and Jason just seem like fun guys to get out on the road with. So I'm really looking forward to that tour. It's going to be fun. We're kind of challenging each town on that tour to out-party the town before. So it may get pretty wild by the end. But we're also starting in the Maritimes with folks who, you know, historically like to party
they
a
know.
Lot. So, yeah, right? So the rest of
they
Canada
know how to party.
Really, they do. And the bar is going to be raised from the beginning for the provinces as we roll west to up the ante. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome, and people can follow the progress on Facebook and Twitter, your website, DerekRattan.net, where people can check out the tour dates so they know when the tour will be in their town. And a big hit for Jason that was out recently that you had a hand in writing, They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore. Now, there's another beautiful, sentimental song, in that case, Jason singing about his grandparents, or his grandfather.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, Jason came to me and we actually wrote that one at my house. He came over and wanted to write a song. He knew that he wanted to write a song for his grandpa. And he had a title and we kind of moved it around and it kind of wasn't working. And then we kind of came up with They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore in the room. I'm glad he had the success he did with that song. It was there again, like Main Street. It was kind of cool to put that out there and hear different fans' stories and how they connected with They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore. And I know Jason got a ton of fan feedback on that song. And it was cool for him to win Single of the Year in 2012 at the CCMAs with that song, too. That was a real special moment for him, and I was glad that I could be there to see it.
One of the lines in it refers to, speaking about the grandfather, he thinks Alan Jackson's king. That one stands out to me. Of course, we all love Alan Jackson. Were there any other artists that you thought about will put in that slot there that the grandfather would be a fan of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we bounced around a number of names, as you always do. And that one seemed appropriate, and it also sang the best, to be honest with you.
Right. Right, and that's a key decision in a lot of times with a song, right? It's the whether it's a name you use or a word, it's got to have that singable quality.
It does. I mean, it's there's a lot of factors. You can't kind of just jam in whoever you think the best singer would be in that scenario because it's not, you know, hey, if his name's too long, it's not going to fit. And
that's right.
It is. There's a lot of things when you write a song. There's just so many different variables that you're considering when you're selecting the right lyric. But Alan Jackson, as far as I'm concerned, never gets enough shout-outs in country songs, so I was glad to be able to give him one there.
Well, that's great, and it's amazing not only the songs that you've written for other artists like Michelle Wright, Aaron Prochette, Dierks Bentley, Jason Blaine, of course, the new single for Blake Shelton, which is just climbing the charts right to the top, called Mine Would Be You. Not only that, but your brand new album coming out October 15th, and that is called Take the Week Off. Derek, thanks so much for spending the time here. Once again, it's been a real pleasure chatting.
Dave, thank you, man. I appreciate your interviews are always great, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate hearing those kind words. My guest has been country artist Derek Rattan. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, be sure to head to inthecountryinterviews.com.